What a wonderful morning, a glorious morning the Lord has given unto us. We oftentimes hear people talk about singing at church, and they say it was like the angels themselves were singing. Friends, we have singing better than the angels have. Because you have sung songs this morning that angels can't sing.
Amen.
And I believe that angels themselves are gathered around places like this, listening to the songs and the stories that they're telling one another. Because they're catching a glimpse of something that they've heard. It doesn't pertain to them, that they rejoice in, but they don't understand. Because they saw Him descend. They saw Him ascend. But friends, He didn't do that for an angel. He did that for you.
Amen.
And you've sung about that this morning. Where is Brother Jerry? There you are. A very easy text came to my mind this morning. I like easy texts. All that we had yesterday, as glorious as it was, this morning when you woke up and the sun came up, there was something new today. New mercy. Because I can't take the old mercy from yesterday. That's been used. But He has a supply that is not only never empty, it's never less than full.
Amen.
And it's just as plenteous today as it was yesterday.
Amen.
And it's new and fresh for the needs of today, just as it was for yesterday.
Right.
And friends, it's not that He will be great, He will be faithful, He will be all these things. He is faithful now.
Amen.
And great is His faithfulness now. I rejoice that we come here not expecting of what He will, but what He is.
Yeah.
Not only what He's done, but what He is, and in hope of what will be one day by His grace. Lord willing, this morning, the arrangements are that Elder Luke Laird will come and preach first. Brother Luke is a member at Union Primitive Baptist Church down in Ruth, Mississippi, and he's going to be followed by Elder Mark Quarles, the pastor of Providence Primitive Baptist Church in Stringer, Mississippi. You ask that you pray for both of these brethren, the Lord be with them in a very special way. This time, we're going to have Elder John Yadomak come and word our prayer. You pray with Brother John and pray with one another. The Lord will lift all of us up together this day to behold the majesty of the Lord.
Oh, Lord, we thank You once again for the opportunity to gather together. Lord, we thank You that with all there is to do in this world, so many have chosen to come and be with You and Your saints. Lord, we don't deserve. No, but Lord, we beg because of Your dear Son that You would bless us with Your Spirit.
Yes.
Lord, we need it now more than ever. Mm. Lord, there are terrifying things in the world.
Mm.
There are things that we look to and make us fear for our parents. Mm. Lord, there are things that we look to and they make us fear for our children. Mm. Lord, but we know that Thou art with us.
Mm.
The Lord, You've always been with Your people. Mm. Lord, even when we're disobedient, Lord, You bless us anyway.
Mm.
Lord, You bless us with so much in spite of ourselves.
Mm.
Lord, You bless these men to rise above themselves and preach Your gospel.
Yeah.
Lord, You bless us to forget about the things that trouble us. You free our hearts and our minds that we could receive Your Spirit and those things to expose.
Mm.
Lord, we just ask that You do it one more time.
Mm.
Lord, empty those storehouses of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we can only take so much, but we ask that You fill us and overflow us, that we be carried from this place, that no matter what might befall us in the days and the weeks and the months ahead, we'd remember this time, we'd remember the preaching, we'd remember the prayers, we'd remember the singing and the fellowship. Lord, but most of all, we'd remember You, that every day You'd be at the forefront of our minds, that in all that we do, it's with Your love in our hearts. And Lord, that we don't hide that, but that we express it all those around us.
Mm.
Lord, as terrifying the times may be, as dark as the hours to come, Lord, we know that You will bless with Your shining light.
Yes.
Lord, we ask You bless us to be a part of that light,
yes,
if we're able to be.
Yes.
But Lord, we ask that You come quickly.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we ask that You receive us into the everlasting light.
Yes.
That we never fear the darkness again.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, that we don't even need prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, that we would just see You and behold You. That we would know as we're known.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we could just worship You even better than now, forever and ever. Lord, that we would be free of all these cares. We'd be free of the problems. Lord, we'd be free of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, that we can just enjoy that forever and ever. We long for that day. And Lord, just give us one more time a glimpse of it now. We enter into this preaching now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Certainly thankful to be with you here this morning. This is just my second time to be here with y'all. First time I came, there's a lot of things going on in my life. My ministry, and my labors, and my heart burdens. I wasn't really able to enter into the fullness of the joy that we've experienced this weekend. But I've got to see it this week.
Praise God.
I've got to feel it. And you know what, 2 years ago, there was many of you that felt the same thing I feel today then. But there were some things that hindered me. When we come to this well, bring your dipping bucket. Don't let these old things beset us.
Amen.
Because we've come to a very special place.
Amen.
And when we fail to see this place, y'all pray for us, brother, because I'm telling you, if you just knew what was going on in this head of mine, you'd be scared to death. So pray for us that the Lord is blessed. Because if this preacher's going to happen, that's what's going to happen. But we've come to a place that is very precious. And when we fail to recognize how precious this place is and how beautiful it is, then we begin to take it for granted. And we fail to trust in the Spirit of God, and we begin to lean upon our own understanding. And brethren, there's a way that seems right to a man, and I'm going to tell you where that's going to wind up. In a grave. It leads to destruction. That's where a way that seems right to a man leadeth, is to destruction. But there's a way that is a better way that God has blessed us with while we live here. In Psalm 48, he gives us kind of a little view of this. I want to grab this just for our way of starting. It says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." Amen, amen, and amen. "In the city of our God." Now, this is the city of our God. "In the mountain of his holiness." I'm thankful, brethren. I know there's bad stuff going on out there, and we need to be praying. We're instructed in God's Word to pray for our leaders, are we not? Yes. We're instructed to pray for one another. But I'm thankful. I ain't heard nobody get up here and this is not a political soapbox.
Amen.
I'll tell you, we got more important business than those things. I got this right. All the kings and stuff, they going to lay her down one day. All these crazy old people worship like Buddha and all these other people. I'll tell you where they're at. They're in a hole somewhere. But I'm telling you where Jesus is. He's at the right hand of the throne on high right now making intercessions on behalf of you. There's no greater place that we can be on the face of this planet than gathered with the saints of God for the purpose of worshiping His name. Because great is the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, He's great, brother.
He is.
And we get to see some things in the city of our God that you can't find anywhere else.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Don't tell me you can experience what we've experienced on a golf course or in a tree or on the lake fishing. I like doing all them things, but you can't experience this.
Right. Right.
This can't be bought.
Amen.
This is not secured either. That's a scary thing when you consider that. There's no guarantee that the Lord will bless. I will tell you, boy, when He does, I want to be there if He does.
Amen.
I don't know that He's going to, but I can tell you that in my experience in times past, the Lord has proven true and true again that wherever two or three are gathered, my name there, mine the midst. And that's where I want to be. It's where the Lord's going to be. And I don't know. I love that song. Sometimes the light surprises the Christian while he sings. It is the Lord who rises with healing in His wings. I've experienced some things, brethren, that I needed. The Lord knew what I needed. And you know what? I bet you can testify to the exact same thing this morning. There are some things you stood in need of. And the Lord, it's amazing to me how the Lord can feed His sheep. I remember one time when I was first struggling I've had very few times in my life. There's been some times in my life because I am hard-headed. I don't know if y'all can. I'm kind of, I got a big brow line. I've hit a lot of people with this head in my life. Play football. And sometimes that bullheadedness just hangs around. You know what I mean? Don't you wish when the Lord put His Spirit with us and knock all that bad stuff out? That stuff just hangs around. We got it. We got to fight with it every day. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. Nevertheless, it's a warfare. But the fact of the matter is that sometimes I am just bullheaded. And the Lord has to speak real plain to me sometimes. But here's the thing I want you to know is that when the Lord speaks to you, trust me, He knows how to do it. If you being able to know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more your Father? He who knows the very thoughts and intents of your heart, I promise you, He knows how to deal with you. I never question, oh, is this the Lord leading me? No, I know. That never happened. When I get behind the woodshed, I'm aware who is chastising me. There is no doubt. I mean, if I'm wicked, and when I whip my boys, son, this is why I was whipping you. You done this. This is what I expected. And the Bible said I'm evil. If you being wicked, wicked, let me get the right word, sorry. You know how to give good gifts unto your children? We chastise our children because we love them. You ever just, now my daddy, he'd give me some GP, son. Y'all know what GP is? General purposes. Before the day's out, you're going to need it. But our Heavenly Father don't do us like that. When He deals with us, you know why it is. You understand why He's dealing with you, right? He doesn't leave us in doubt. Like, oh, this is God. Kirk and Katrina came. I'll never forget. I was sitting at lunch with a guy that preached at the church in New Orleans. And these two guys over here talking about how sorry New Orleans was, and that's why Hurricane Katrina come in there. Now I got to laugh, and the guys say, what's wrong with you? I said, I'm talking to the guy that preaches the church in New Orleans. I think I'm pretty sure when God pours out His wrath, do you remember reading about a place called Sodom and Gomorrah? There wasn't nothing left. Except for what the Lord took out. I'm pretty sure sometimes the storm's just a storm. What the Bible said. But anyway, He went in the storm. So, be careful charging God foolishly with things, okay?
Yeah. Right.
Be careful charging.
Right.
Sometimes a storm is just a storm. But the fact of the matter is, we have some things that we are blessed with to help us weather the storms that we face. We've got help. We've got a place that we can come. The Bible there says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation. Beautiful for situation. I don't care what your situation is. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what's going on. Doesn't matter what things you got going. Come to the house of the Lord.
Amen. Right. Amen.
I'm telling you. He says, bodily exercise profits little. But you know, working out does profit, don't it? You get stronger. You get.
That's hilarious.
It does. But exercise unto godliness is profitable unto all things.
Right. Right.
Now let me give you a plowboy interpretation of what profitable means. You can get all kind of elaborate definitions when you get into accounting as to what profitable is, but here's a basic synopsis of what profitable is. You get way more out of it than you put into it. I don't care what your situation is. Get yourself up and get to the house of God where thanks are gathered. Because I'll assure you, you're going to get more out of it than you put into it. He said this beautiful situation. The joy of the whole earth. If it's the joy of the whole earth, how much more of a joy should it be for us who would get to enter into it and understand what it is and are a part of it?
Right. Amen.
I mean, if it's the joy of the whole earth,
yes.
Then we, His creation,
yes.
If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, all things pass away. We being in this kingdom, how much more of a joy should it be for us? How can we take that for granted? If it's the joy of the whole earth, we say, I don't feel like going to. My sister-in-law is not an old Baptist, but her mama taught her something one time, and I said, hey, it's pretty good. You know what? If it's good, you take it. If it's bad, you leave it. But it was good. She told her mama,
I don't feel like going to church today.
She said, I'm pretty sure the Lord didn't feel like bearing that cross up Golgotha Hill and bearing your sins. Get yourself up and go to church. You know what? I was like, hey, that gets the point. I get it. I got it. It's the joy of the whole earth. It's Mount Zion. You know what's amazing is when they went up, you go up to this mountain, you're always going up. I don't care if you're going from north to south, south, north to east to west, west to east. You're going up. They always went up to the house of the Lord. I trust we've been up to the house of the Lord, brother. Up above some things. I'm going to tell you, there's a general trajectory set forth when you think about plot charts. Jonah, go to Nineveh. Go up to Nineveh. Mm-mm. Not going to do it. I can identify with this guy. Nope. What did Jonah do? He didn't go up. He went down to Joppa. From Joppa, he goes down into the ship, and he's cast down into the sea, and then he's swallowed into the belly of the whale. Not the bail of the welly. It happens. And then he goes into the depth of the sea. And when Jonah finally said, you know what, Lord? Here am I, I'll go. The whale came up from the depth of the sea. He spit him up upon the beach, and he went up to Nineveh. We learn a trajectory there. When we do what the Lord tells us to do, we're going up. Pretty simple. When we don't do what the Lord tells us to do, we're going down. I'd rather we go up.
Amen.
Far better to go up.
Amen.
Going down is bad. Go down. Go up. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. I'm going to tell you, brethren, a refuge. Don't we need it? I heard my dear brother pray this morning. We need a refuge. You know what a refuge is? A place to find solace. A place to find peace. A place where we can come out from the world and go up into a place where we can look up into a place and fix our eyes so that our affection might be directed where it should be directed. Peter, when he went walking to the Lord, he was doing pretty good while he was looking at the Lord. But when he took his eyes off the Lord and began to look down at the waves and the situation he was in, he began to sink.
Yeah.
That same thing happens to us, friends. And you ain't sinking in the sea, but sometimes you feel like you are.
Yeah.
Sometimes you feel like the waves are crashing that you can't grab your next breath. But boy, when you keep your eyes fixed upon him, oh, he declares what a great refuge he is for us. He's a refuge for whatever war, whatever battle, whatever situation. He's a place. He's a safe place. They got them all over, don't they? But he really is a safe place. There's some safe places around I've seen that I wouldn't go there. Don't look too safe to me. But this is a safe place. Why? Because there's none stronger than our strong man. There's none that can stay his hand. There's none that can pluck us out of his hand. I'm going to tell you, he's destroyed all our enemies. And I can't wait till we see it in the fullness thereof. We're the last one of them put down, and we're going to be with him in glory. We don't understand just how strong he is then. But brethren, I'm going to tell you, we get a glimpse in this refuge of just how strong he is now.
Amen.
Because we get to see some things. Beautiful. All right. God is known in their palaces for a refuge. Now, check this out. For lo, the kings were assembled and passed by. They saw it, they marveled and were troubled and hated. You know what the Lord said? Marvel not, the world hates you. It hated me before it hated you. Don't let it surprise you. Somebody said, asked me a question, how the world treat me? I said, boy, that is a loaded question. They're like, what do you mean? I said, well, if I say it, everything's good, then I might not be living like I'm supposed to be living. So it really causes a lot of self-reflection. When you say how the world's treating you, I don't know. Well, I've got to contemplate that for a moment. But I'm going to tell you, this world's no friend to us.
That's right. That's right.
But when we come to this little city of refuge, we hear about a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. We get to see a friend high and lifted up, who has displayed and showed to us greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends.
I'm going to tell you, Moses, God spoke to Moses as a man speaks to his friend. Aren't you thankful when you get those experiences? You know, I told you I was hard-headed. I've had some experiences where it felt like the Lord was in the vehicle with you. And it scared me. It shook me. I was going one time when I was laboring with something to talk to Brother Jerry Britt, and on the way over there, I was thinking, well, if I leave and go do this, who's going to do this, who's going to do this, who's going to do this? You know what the Lord said? It's just clear, because I'm talking to you. He said, boy, I've been feeding. Now, he probably didn't say it that way. Just right. He said, I've been feeding my sheep before you came here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to feed them after you leave.
Right. Yeah, amen.
You know what we need to focus on doing? Be where our feet are.
Amen.
I used to harp this to my football players all the time. Be where your feet are, son. I'm going to tell you, brother, be where your feet are. You do what the Lord has instructed you to do where you're at right now.
Amen.
That's what you do. Be where your feet are.
That's good.
Be where your feet are. Do what you're instructed to do right now. Now, why is this important to be where our feet are? This is very important, and I get this from Scripture because it says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, you know what we have? We're being where our feet are. We're walking where we should be walking.
Right.
We get to have fellowship one with another.
Yeah.
And the reason we have fellowship one with another is because first of all, we have fellowship with him.
Yeah.
But where do we experience this and see this in the greatest and most amazing way? In the city of living God.
Amen.
City of living God. Now, let's go back to Exodus for a moment. In Exodus 33, Moses says, I want to see your glory. Let me see it. I want to see it. Don't you want to see it? I've seen it. I've seen it pass by today. I've seen it pass by this weekend. I've seen the Lord pass by.
Yeah.
You know what he told me? He said, there's a place by me.
Yeah.
Hell, there's a place by me. That's on a rock. I want you to know, brother, there's still a place by him.
Amen. Yeah.
There's still a place by him, and there's a rock still there.
Amen.
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty sure it's Chief Cornerstone.
Amen.
I'm pretty sure that there's a stone laid in Zion this morning, and that's what Zion sits on. That's our foundation, brother. Oh, brother, there's a place by. As a matter of fact, he's promised us that in this place, there's something we will experience that's extremely special over in Hebrews 2. He says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto thee. Oh, man, sometimes the light surprises. We can hear another voice out there that's singing with us, brethren. I'm going to tell you, it's a blessing to come into the city of the living God, Mount Zion, the joy of the whole earth. And if it's the joy of the whole earth, it ought to be our everything.
Amen.
Amen.
It's our everything. Because in this city, we get to experience something that not everybody gets to experience. They said, oh, in this mountain's where, remember the woman, our brother said, oh, in this mountain's where you're supposed to worship, man. Your brother says over here. You know, the Lord said, God's a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We are the circumcision, brethren, which have no confidence in the flesh. If I come to you this morning having confidence in the flesh, I do err.
Yeah.
I do err. And the Lord, He's a clear communicator.
Mm-hmm.
He will teach you. I've learned those lessons. Don't want to learn them again. One time was good enough. I hope I never experience it again. Hey, some weapons you just remember. Just can't wait to grow up. And that's another thing for you young brothers. I'm going to tell you, sometimes we think we've got to taste things to see if they're bad. I got news for you. Trust me. I heard dear brother I love dearly. He said, you don't know what fire's out. You don't ask the man with extinguisher. U.S. known scars.
Amen.
That's lasted with me. Pure wisdom is this. When I can learn from something that you've experienced and I don't have to experience it.
That's right.
Oh, experience is the best teacher.
No.
It's most expensive. It surely affected many times because it is the most costly. But the purest form of wisdom is when you're blessed to be able to learn, you're best to be able to help your brethren. Hey, brother.
Yeah.
Ever James says, let any man know if he converts your brother from Mary's way, so from death, hit a multitude of sin. Hey, brother, don't go down that road.
That's right.
I know what's down that road.
That's right, yeah.
Don't do it. The end of that road's destruction.
Right. Yeah.
Come with me. Let's not go down to destruction. Let's go up into the city.
That's right.
Amen. Hey, come and see. Sometimes may not be able to explain it. It's okay. Come see.
Amen.
Come see, because I'll tell you, we
when God's Spirit is made manifest, and by the way, when we sing, you know how we sing? In the Spirit.
Yes.
When we pray, you know how we pray? In the Spirit.
Yeah.
And brother, the preaching ever takes place, it's called the Spirit comes down.
Yeah.
All right, so if we have confidence in the Spirit, then let's have confidence in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Or if we're going to have confidence in the flesh, let's have confidence in the flesh. Don't be. Oh, let me tell you how brilliant I am. Matter of fact, this place is Scripture. In 1 Corinthians, in the first chapter, Paul said, now this right here, let this sink in for a minute. For Christ sent me not to baptize. Hello. That's a powerful statement.
Yeah.
A lot of times people today, the whole purpose of preaching the gospel is to get people to hit the water. He said, Christ sent me not to baptize. There's something more important you need to be doing, brother. Oh, is baptizing going to come? I trust it will. But that should not be your focus.
Right, yeah.
You know, if the purpose of preaching the gospel is to get somebody to be baptized, once you're baptized, why would you ever have to come back? Why don't you drive as far as you can to come here?
That's right.
Because there's a place by. It's the city of the living God. It's the joy of the whole earth. It's my everything, and I want to be there just in case he's there. Because when I get to spend time with him, there's time for refreshing. They come from the presence of the Lord, and it helps me face the storms, and I find this place of refuge, and I get charged up. So I'm saying you're charged. I'm saying sometimes you get charged, you're ready to take on whatever, however. And then sometimes you can feel so weak that you feel like somebody knocked you over with a feather. You know that happens to all of us.
Yeah.
A lot of times we don't realize that, but it does. It happens to all of us. He's even out to baptize. But to preach the gospel, get this part too, not with wisdoms of words. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care. I don't care how intelligent you are. I had a guy one time work with me. There's a fellow in the class asking a question. It was a very technical question. I understood what the guy asked. And the guy gave him a technical blah, 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 like that. I said, you have any idea what you said?
Nope.
I said, why in the world did you do that? He said, he didn't know what I was doing either. He said, he wasn't going to ask me again. I was like, you're not a very effective teacher. I want to know what you said.
Yeah,
I want to understand.
Amen.
Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. I'm going to tell you, brethren, these little ones need to worship on the pew just like the big ones do.
Amen. Amen.
This would be plain speech.
Amen.
Don't prove to me how smart you are by confounding me with your great intellect. Go to the universities of this world. They might be amazed with that. I don't care. This is the city of living.
Amen.
Take your intellect. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing to be smart, brethren. I'm not. But if what we do is not focused on Him,
amen,
and it doesn't bring Him glory, and it robs Him of glory, then I'm going to tell you you've got the wrong motivation.
Amen.
This is the city of the living God.
Amen.
He's known in all of our palaces, and when we gather together, He meets with us and declares His name, God's name, the Father's name, unto my brethren in the midst of the church while I say praise with it. This is an important place.
Amen.
It's so important, He says, hey, don't forsake it.
Right.
And He said, especially as you see the day approaching.
Amen.
I got news for you, folks. We're one day closer today than we were. I don't know when it is. Don't know when it's coming. But I know this. We're closer today than we were yesterday. So guess what? It is approaching. So now's the time. Get it back. It's the time now. Now's the time to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Why? Because it's important. Because this place is a place that God Himself set up. And in this place, we get to hear the gospel proclaimed. And this gospel is salvation for the saved.
Amen.
Amen. He's making that right here. I'm telling you right here, He's going to tell us this gospel is salvation for the saved.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, it's still important. You know why I know it's important? Because God is still calling men out of all walks of life to preach the gospel. Because a man can't do this. If somebody preaches the gospel, it's because God blesses. And when He blesses men to preach, and you see those evidences of those gifts, then you know what we can say? God ain't through with us right here yet.
Amen.
He's still in this city, and He still declares His name unto His brethren in the midst of the church. He's still singing with His brethren. I'm encouraged by that.
Amen.
I don't want to hear nobody preach of old Baptist funeral. Get out of here with that. Take it somewhere else.
Amen.
We don't need it.
Because
I want to tell you, where we met is a city of the living God. It's a city that He established Himself.
Amen.
And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know what we need to be doing? We need to be laboring to enter in to the rest in this refuge that we have right here.
Amen.
And the best way you can do that is the way he's instructed you to do that.
Amen.
When we try to enter in any other way, well, the Lord, you know, he's pretty clear about that over in John. John. He says people try to climb up all kind of other ways. There's only one way. The door. The door is sheepfold. I'm going to tell you about this Jesus Christ. And every time we come in here, I hope we see him. Oh, I pray that this temple fills this place and we get to see a glimpse of his glory as we stand upon the rock in the place that's by him.
Amen.
This is the place that's by him. And in this place, we get to experience things that the Bible says is the earnest of our inheritance,
yeah,
brethren. Ooh, man. That's, now, that ain't like Lanyap. Down in Louisiana, they call things Lanyap. That's like if you ordered a dozen, let's say if you ordered a pound, here's what they do. I ordered a pound of nails. They put a pound in there, then he reaches in there, grabs a little extra, and throws that in there. And he said, that's Lanyap, just a little extra. But an artist does. You don't understand that?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. Well, all there, it's over with. People want to make sure that you're not shorted, okay? When you buy something, they give you a little extra. So if you ordered a pound of nails, they throw a little bit of extra in there, share some Lanyap, okay, get a charge card. Make sure you understand I'm dealing fair with you, okay? All right, now we're all on the same page. However, earnest, the earnest of our inheritance, this is a little bit of a whole lot to come.
Yes, sir.
And in a way, it's kind of like Lanyap. Because it's a little extra. Because one of the brethren brought up a text over there, and he says that there's something that's really special about this, and especially to those that believe.
Yeah.
Especially to those that believe. He goes on and says, for the preaching of the cross is for them that perish foolishness. You know, I'm so glad he didn't say, make some sheep. Peter, do you love me? Make some sheep, buddy. Boy, that'd have been bad. You know, the Lord was just giving him a task he can't do. You know the Lord's never giving you a task you can't do. When he tells you to do something, he gives you everything you need to do. I got news for you. You can't make sheep. I'm an eyewitness testimony of this. I had a little baby goat when I was a kid. I baptized that thing like my grandma said, Mel, get out there. He's about to baptize that goat to death. I'm talking about that thing. Boom, sticking out of here. I'm about sticking him under there, and she was like, he's fixing to kill the goat. So my grandpa came out and saved the goat from the salvation, which I was trying to, salvation, I was trying to give him back there. You know, every time that goat came out of that water, you know what? It was still a goat. And my ordination, one brother said, sure hope you get baptized some sheep now, Brother Luke. Like, amen, brother. Baptizing the goat doesn't make the goat nothing but a stinky goat and a mad goat and a scary goat. But baptism is for the sheep.
Yeah.
He said, feed my sheep. When he tells you to do something, he equips you what you need to do it, brother.
Yeah.
You say, oh, I'm not worthy. I'm telling you, I had that. I ran from the call of preaching, and I wasted many, 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 many years in my life. And it breaks my heart that I did. I told you I was hard. Yeah. And I ran, and I ran, and I ran, and I ran, and I ran. The Lord's merciful. Because when I got down there in the belly of that whale, I come to this conclusion. I said, Lord, if you can use Balaam's ride, you can use me. Y'all got me? Here am I, I'll go.
Amen.
That's what I said. Because when he calls you to do something, he equips you with what you need to do.
Amen.
But what we need to be found doing is being where our feet are.
Yes. Yes.
And having our feet in the right place.
Right.
If you go around walking in darkness, don't think you're going to have fellowship.
Right.
God's not mocked. Don't ask. You want to have fellowship with the saints of God? Be with the saints of God.
That's right.
You want to have fellowship with Jesus Christ? Be where he said he's going to be.
Amen.
I ain't talking about relationship. I'm talking about fellowship.
Amen.
Two entirely different subjects.
Alright?
Talking about fellowship.
Amen.
Christian letter. The preaching of the cross them that perish foolishness. This is not, he says, to the saints, to the elect, to the first. Everything in this book is to who? God's children.
Amen.
That's who this is for. Oh, there's some books that's going to be open one day for them. They're going to get to hear some preaching. They're not going to like what they hear. Just like they didn't like it when the church, they seen the church. They didn't like it. Not going to like it. There's only one book that's going to be open for us, and that book has some reservations in it.
Amen.
There's some lodging that has been made.
Amen.
There's some names recorded on the reservation.
Amen.
He knows when we're getting there, and he's secured
payment. Amen.
You ain't got to worry about getting there and your car not working.
That's awesome.
If I was going to have to get there and rent a car, I'd be like, I don't want to go. I'd be just like everybody else. I hope the Lord ain't coming back today. I'm thankful, man, when we stand before him, we'll stand before him holding acceptance of love. You know why? Because he's done something for us.
Amen.
He made a reservation. He put our names on there. He's prepared the place. He made sure it's set. It's ready. It's good to go. And he made the payment. There's a reservation reserved for you in heaven right now. And there's only one that's going to open that book. Don't worry about somebody scratching your name off and putting theirs in there. Ain't nobody do that but the Lamb of the tribe of Judah, brother. I'm going to tell you, he wrote them in there. And he wrote them in his own blood. That's his.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
So this preaching is to his children. To them that perish is foolishness, but to us which are saved is the power of God. This is dynamite. Let me tell you something. You got a mountain in your life, there's some dynamite right here, you blow it, and you slap out the way. You got a stuff you can't get around that's aggravating you. You still you can get your hands on stuff pretty easy. You can't anymore. We found some one time and had a blast over here. This thing is powerful, brother. What we have is powerful. You know why? This is a little piece of heaven that we get to enjoy right now.
Amen.
It's the earnest of our inheritance. If we're going to worship him perfectly there, don't you think we ought to get pretty good at it right now?
Amen.
I would think we would.
Yes, sir.
For it is written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise and would bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the spirit of this world? I'm not the only one that held the position. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. I can talk to just about anybody in Christendom to say today and say, hey, if a guy believes, what are they? Oh, they're saved. Well, all right. Let's make sure we read this right. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know what? There's some salvation in the preaching of the gospel.
Amen.
There's salvation for the saved.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
That's
right. It's the deliverance for the believer.
Yeah. Right.
All right, now, this kingdom. Brother Mark, I'm pressing, brother. When you look at Canaan's land, there was a whole bunch of brethren. There's a whole bunch of brethren over there. They staggered the promises of God. We need to be like Abraham. Let's don't stagger the promises of God. They staggered the promises. You know what? A whole bunch of them didn't get to go into Canaan's land. Now, keep in mind, they were delivered from bondage. But they didn't make it into Canaan's land. Why? Because of disbelief, unbelief. They staggered in the promises of God. We're reminded that we need to be reminded of these things over and over and over and over again. Why don't you want to come back here the same old story? Because I'm going to tell you, brethren, I've been here again.
It's
the sweetest message I've ever heard.
Because
this is about Jesus. And this is when it gets really sweet. Paul says that, who loved me. And he gave himself for me. Oh, do you see him that way? Does he whisper sweet things in your heart? Does he declare his Father's name unto you in the midst of the church? Do you realize that's my Savior who loves me? Oh, I believe in a personal Savior. I'm thankful he calls him by name. He knows him personally. It's kind of scary one time. You think about from time to time, I think about just how well He knows, because He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. And sometimes the Lord grants me with mercy, contrary to popular belief. I can't stop some stuff after it comes through here from getting out there. But the Lord knew it when it entered there.
Yeah.
And you know what amazes me? He still loves me. He loved me when I was yet an enemy. And then I can come and I can gather with some saints of God. And some of us may not hang out. You know what I mean? I mean, we may not be compatible personality-wise. But there's a kinship that we feel when we experience the fellowship of God. And the love flows from breast to breast. And it passes all boundaries.
That's right. That's right.
It's amazing how that works. Because
We
understand we're all us's and we's.
Yeah, that's a good thing when we're us's and we's, because us's and we's are good stuff.
Mark 4. I want to grab this one. All right. So, now, first of all, this salvation for the believer. The preaching of the gospel doesn't make one a believer. Brooke Texas, make sure we don't leave this. And y'all think, all right, Brother Luke's trying to save some people by preaching the gospel. I do want to save you by preaching the gospel, but not to heaven nor glory. All right?
Amen.
So, First John 5:1 says, whosoever believes Jesus Christ is born of God.
Yeah.
For an individual has the capacity and ability to believe, they must be born of God.
Right.
When he asked the apostles who men say that I the Son of Man am, they say, well, some of them say John, some of them say this, and some of them say you're a good man, somebody. I mean, court of public opinion is never right, but he says, who say ye that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know what the Lord said? Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, because your preacher done a good job. Your grandma did. No, but our grandma's instructed. Did she?
Amen.
Yep. Teach them. We told Timothy, his grandma and his grandma, his grandma and his mom. Right. They instructed him. They showed him some things. They walked in the way. You know what? Where do my feet need to be? That's where my walls feet were.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I don't care who you are. There's somebody watching your feet.
Yeah.
I don't care how old you are. There's somebody looking up to you.
Right. Amen.
You are a representation and an example to somebody.
Right.
If you're an older sister, you got a younger sister that's watching. I preached this one time over in Georgia. Brother Philip told me I'd be forever marked as the Muddy Brook preacher. But where's communion, and I just want you to think about this. I took foot washing, and I said, you know, when you think about foot washing, I loved coon hunt when I was younger coming up. If I come home one night, and I had muddy boots on, and when I get to the back door, it's about 1 o'clock in the morning, we finally got all the coons back, dogs back in the kennel. And I open that back door, and I can smell the aroma of pine salt coming through the house. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Mama been cleaning all day. She's been sweeping and mopping and has mopped this floor. And if I leave them old dirty clothes on, it's got mud on me, and I go trouncing through that house, what am I saying about the work Mama's done in her house? I'm going to tell you, the Lord's cleaned us up every week.
Right.
Where are you going to take these feet that He's cleaned us up?
Yeah.
Where are they going to walk? I pray the Lord bless us to walk in a way that if we look back, I heard Brother Harold pray this my whole life coming up. If we look back and see one of God's little children following in our footsteps, I pray, O Lord, that it not bring reproach unto Thy name, or bring reproach unto Thy great cause and kingdom.
Amen.
There's somebody following you. Be where your feet are.
Amen.
And have them in the right place.
Amen.
And be there. Be there. Now, somebody says, well, just being there is half the battle. Clearly not. So, Mark 4, you got to be there and you got to bring a dipping bucket. I showed y'all when we first started. That was the last time I was here, I starved to death. But it's because my heart was torn out. This time I got to feast. My Father set a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And I got to gather with some brethren and sisters that are my family.
Amen.
And our Father fed us, and He fed us bountifully.
Yes, He did.
And oh, there were scraps, but I wish you could take them home. Ain't it too bad it's like mine? Wish you could take them home with you, but you can't. You just got to come and see. The same day, this is in Mark 4, the same day, when evening had come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. You know, that's, I guess this is, had to be what the guy, the pirate song, this had to be what he was thinking about. Out on the ocean. All right, so, that's all. He had to be thinking about this. He had to be. The same day, when evening was come, he said to them, let us pass over to the other side. We come here and we get to hear, brethren. We're going to the other side.
Yeah.
Lord said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you. We're going to the other side. We get to be reminded of that because sometimes we let them slip, we let them forget.
Yeah.
And when they heard that, sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm and a wind, and the waves beat the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and said to him, Master, care us not that we perish. And he arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? All right, let me tell you about this sea, this ship we're in. One day we're going to get in a rocket ship. We're going on. Gravity's not going to hold us. But until then, we're like, if you keep reading over in Mark, you're going to find over there where the Lord sent them away. In Mark 6, it says, and straightway, 6 verse 45, this is something we can learn about the ship. Straightway he constrained his disciples to get to the ship and go to the other side before Bethsaida while there was yet people. And when he had sent them away, he departed to a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. Sometimes we think about this ship, we think about a motorboat. This ain't a motorboat. It ain't a sailboat. Even if it was, if there's a contrary wind, you better get your sails down or you're just leave your mast.
Exactly.
But anyway. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and alone on the land. He was alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. All right, now here's the thing. These brethren were where they were supposed to be, doing what they were supposed to be doing.
Right.
And the wind was contrary to them. And there's probably some miserable comforters that, you know you've done something wrong. No, they were where they were supposed to be doing what they were supposed to be doing.
Right.
The wind was contrary to them, and they were toiling and rowing. Okay? I'm going to tell you, in this ship, this gospel kingdom, each one of you has an oar.
Amen.
This is a rowboat.
Amen.
Yeah. And listen, if everybody ain't pulling on their oar, this boat ain't going nowhere. We're just going to go in a circle.
Right.
Just get in a canoe with your wife.
Yeah.
Yes. You're going to get the concept. You will go, you will have no direction. But we have to have someone that shouts direct. Y'all ever watch the rowing competition? You have a coxswain that gives the command. That way everybody's in the right time. I'm going to tell you, there's the head of this ship.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's the head of all things in the church, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. He's given us the command. You know what we need to be? Where our feet are, pressing. We need to be pressing and pulling. Now, I got news for you, brethren. If you'll go back and you look at that text in Mark 4, you're going to find when he said, let us go to the other side. There was also with him other little ships.
Yeah.
The brethren and the other little ships, guess what? They were part of the us and the we that was with the Lord that he said, we're going to the other side. But let me tell you something, brethren. They missed out on a great blessing. Because they weren't in the ship with the Lord.
Right?
But when you're in ship with the Lord, and he said, it's all right. He that's in you is greater than he's in the world. The waves are boisterous, but don't you remember? I can still speak to those waves and those winds and say, peace, be still. Everybody was delivered to the other side, but I'm going to tell you, those that was in the boat with him was especially delivered.
Right.
Because
yeah.
They got to see a great deliverance. And what I'm telling you is, brethren, do you really want to draw nigh to him? Do you really want to see his glory? Get in the boat.
Yeah.